Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the man's voice here on this Sunday evening. And we're glad you're with us today. I hope that you enjoyed your Memorial holiday, as we all did. But we're back here now to have the man's voice and talk about things that are going on. And if you'd like to join the conversation, or you want to talk about something we want to talk about, or tell us what you want to hear, you can give us a call at 646-668-8740. And it's time for the man's voice. And we have a host today, a person who's going to be hosting the show is Michael out of Los Angeles. So we want to get started because it looks like all the guys are here. Michael, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, David. It's an honor to be hosting the show again. I look forward to it every Sunday. Actually, it's my thing to do for the week. So I'm honored that you would have me host, and I hope I do a good job. How's everybody doing? I want to say what's going on there, everybody. My name is Michael Kimbrough. I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I will be hosting The Man's Voice today. It's a show where we talk about things from politics to sports to just all kind of things that men would talk about. Although it's called The Man's Voice, we welcome everyone to call and participate, and we'd like to hear your voice and your thoughts. Well, I'm getting started with the hot topic right now, and that's the fact that the economy is back booming because coronavirus is behind us, guys. Things are looking forward. But for some reason, we can't fill up the jobs. There's a lot of empty jobs. People are hiring, but no one wants to show up for the job. In all my life, I've never seen anything like that, to be totally honest with you. It's always the other way around. It's always more people, no jobs. I've never seen this before. So my question to the panel is, do you guys think it's time for the stimulus checks to stop going out to people? Because a lot of people make the argument it's because of the stimulus checks and all the government spending that people are just staying home on the couch. I'm going to start with you, Bruce. I want to hear your thoughts on that. What do you think? Should the government stop sending out those checks?
Well, Michael, thank you for calling on me, and I'm sure you'll do great as our host today. Question is, I think like anything else, we started something that's tough to just turn off like a light switch. For the most part, yes. A simple answer is yes, but with some sensitivity that if you started this in certain areas and it has to be shut down in one way versus another way, it should be, but long and short of it is, maybe more the short of it, it should be shut down because we are killing the incentive to go back to work. I mean, if people can make almost as much or more than they do by not going to work, they're not going to go. And it not only hurts our economy, it hurts so many things that, yes, we need to shut it down and shut it down in a respectful way and get us back to work.
Okay, good point on that. Ron, my man down there in Miami, Florida, what do you think? Is it time to stop sending out the stimulus checks or no? What do you think on that?
Well, Michael, I wish it was as simple as yes or no answer or something simple as that. It's a very complicated issue, as we all know. There's a lot of people that are really dependent on that stimulus money right now. Yes, I think there are some people out there that are using that as an excuse to not go to work, but that's not the whole workforce. In fact, I saw in the news just a few minutes ago, actually, that the labor force in the U.S. right now is about 61, almost 62%, meaning about 62% of Americans are in the labor workforce, which same as it was in the early 1970s. So I think there's bigger issues that we have to address, you know, child care and, whether to go back to the office or work remotely. I mean, there's so many variables that I don't think, you know, shutting it off overnight is the wise thing to do, because it's going to leave a lot of people out in a lurch. And, you know, when you've got people that that are going hungry, or even worse, you know, maybe homeless and hungry, that's definitely not a good thing for a good place for the country to be at. So I think eventually, yes, little by little, it needs to be a methodical, well-thought-out approach. And the people that really need the help, you know, and for whatever reasons, if they can't get the jobs, they need help finding jobs, we need to provide that. But I also think the wage, you know, needs to go up. And I heard here in Florida, Universal Orlando is raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour, which I think is about time, because I keep telling people nobody can survive on what the minimum wage is in this country today, which we know hasn't gone up in quite some time. So it's complicated, but yes, slowly we should do away with it.
Okay, yeah, I agree, man. The minimum wage boils down to about $1,200 a month, and that's after working 8-hour, 40-hour work week. You're only getting $1,200 a month. That barely covers your rent, your gas. So, yeah, it just the system needs to be fixed in regards to that. So, Darius, what do you think about that, man? Are these stimulus checks incentivizing people to stay at home and be lazy? Should they stop or should they keep coming? Darius, what do you think?
Well, you know, the initial reason why they started the stimulus in the first place was because they were preventing people from going to work. So if the government is going to tell you you can't go to work or you can't open your business, then they should be subsidized. But now, if the country is wide open and we have opportunities, you know, to go to work, to go and earn, then, yeah, they do need to cut out the stimulus checks. Of course, you've got different situations and circumstances with everyone, but then, you know, we have regular unemployment. You know, I heard Ron talking about everybody's situation is different, which is right, but we have regular unemployment to account for that. In terms of you guys talking about the minimum wage, you see where what's happening right now, that the free market is determining the wage increase, which is the way that it should always be. If you are, you know, they say, oh, it's impossible for a family of four to survive on minimum wage. If you are a grown a man or woman and you have a family of four and you're working a minimum wage job, you're 30-some years old, and somewhere along the line you did something wrong. Minimum wage was never intended for a grown person with a family of four. The minimum wage was always meant to be a stepping stone, an introduction into the workforce. So you can't start someone at introductory job level with no skill with a median income. It just doesn't make any sense, and it will wreck the economy and the middle class.
Okay, I hear you on that, Darius, but to the point about the government needs to get involved, to me, in my opinion, in regards to it, because not everybody's going to play fair. I mean, not every business owner is going to look at a person and go, hey, I'm going to pay you a little more than I can afford to pay you. They're going to game the system. They're going to pay them as little as they could possibly pay them so they can increase their profits. So the government has to step in and put a floor there. But let me go to Don. Don, what do you think on that, my man? Don, let me hear your thoughts, brother. Should they stop sending out the checks or no?
Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to hear your voice, man. I think they should continue to send out the checks because there are families that need it. And I'm fortunate where me and my family don't need it at this time. But there are people that are working minimum wage, and the minimum wage is crazy, 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 Michael. We should have raised that thing to $15, man, at least. And, you know, there are a lot of people still trying to make it. Family of four is difficult to make it in America today. I mean, and also take care, a single mother trying to take care of two or three children and then work a minimum wage job is difficult. And when I look at the 1% that got the humongous raises over the last 4 years, they should not even speak on it at all. They should be grateful.
I could not agree with you more on that, Don. The CEOs of these companies, they're making bank. They're making big, big money while the low-level guy at the bottom is making nothing. So there has to be some sort of mandate from the government to even the playing field. So, El, from a young man's perspective, what do you think? Let me hear your thoughts on that.
Well, when it comes to the stimulus checks, I think that they should be continued if certain states, I know California does have lockdowns and still other places, I'm here in Palmdale right now, and some things are still closed, if the employees and the people are still being disenfranchised from the government restrictions, I still think that they should get it. But people aren't lazy. It's just that if people can make more in unemployment and not pay child fees for child care and driving all across the city and putting gas in their car and they have to do the math, it's worth it to stay home and not possibly catch coronavirus for working a job that pays less than $10 an hour. And I really do think wages should be increased. I mean, you see at McDonald's in Nevada right now, they're hiring for $13, $14 an hour because they need people and they realize, oh, it's not going to be like pre-COVID. We can't pay people $10, $11 no more. So it's just the demand of the labor market, and you need to pay what you want to have an employee. If you aren't willing to pay a decent wage, you aren't going to have anybody working at your business.
I'm glad to hear you say that as a young man, because I agree with that more. And you're what, in your 20s, and to hear someone from your generation speak that language, that's very refreshing to me. Jeremiah, let me hear your thoughts on that. What do you think, my man?
I respect everyone's views, but we have to take I have a personal experience, and I know a restaurant owner that's had a personal experience. Now, they are sending people approximately $1,200 every 2 weeks. That's so much money, they're not willing to get a job, right? I've seen billboards, Flanagan's, probably paid $20,000-$30,000 to put up a billboard. Now hiring, please come and apply. Large companies, small companies, I don't care what size, if you're down to just in a company that has 2 employees or 200, everybody has this issue. And the sad thing is people are applying for jobs because they have to receive unemployment. They go to the interview. They do a phone interview or a Zoom call, whatever it is. The actual owner or manager of these restaurants or whatever workplace it is, give them the salary that they want, and they still don't show up to start working. To this particular owner that has 5 restaurants, it's happened more than 20 times, that same scenario. That's not good for any workforce in the United States. My thing is this, right? If they could continue to send out these unemployment checks, but the extra stimulus amount that they're, which I think is an extra $600 per payment maybe, or something like that, which makes it about $1,100 to $1,200, depending on how much you're approved for, every 2 weeks. Yes, that's more than what people would make working a regular job. But thinking about it, how can we get back to normal without any normal activity going on?
I couldn't agree with you more. I've talked to people, man. You've got millions and millions of people who, because of COVID, they were forced to stop working that 8-hour shift and stay at home, and they got a check that was more than they were getting when they were working that 8-hour shift every day. For a whole year, they got subsidized by the government. So now you're asking them to go back into that labor force, and they're like, no way am I going to go 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, got to get the kids in daycare, gas, got to iron my clothes, all that for a smaller check than I was getting when I was sitting on the couch.
That's a very hard
conversation. I'm sorry, go ahead. Who wants to weigh in? Go ahead.
That's Jeremiah. But guess what?
Jeremiah, go ahead.
That's your predicament if you haven't separated yourself from the bottom line workforce. If you don't have a degree, if you don't have a technical trade, if you don't have this and have done the things that any adult, just like I believe Ron said, any adult should do, you know? You understood the minimum wage 10 years ago when you was 18 years old, not saying you, but that individual. So you know how much it takes to live and take care of you, your family, your children. All I'm saying is, yes, I'm not willing to go back to work for that amount. But guess what? When they cut it off, you're not going to find a job. That same person, when they cut off the extra money, it's going to be 300,000 people looking for a job at the same time. And guess what? That might be difficult as well.
I couldn't agree. Well, let's wrap this conversation up. We could talk for days on this one. I want to move on to a new topic. And, Bruce, I'm going to start
Michael.
With you on this one, my man. The Republicans voted against forming a commission to investigate what happened on January the 6th. And just to refresh the memory of our listeners, on January the 6th, our Capitol was invaded. It was an insurrection. It's the first time our Capitol had been invaded since 1814. Okay? So it was a big day to say the least, but the Republicans decided it wasn't really a big day, and they voted against the commission to investigate what happened that day. Bruce, I'm going to ask you this question. Why do you think the Republicans voted against a commission to investigate that insurrection?
Because the way they've put it together, it won't be a fair investigation. I don't think the Republicans would deny or be against anything that's fair and equitable as far as how it's approached and evaluated. I think we all, Democrats and Republicans, want to know what happened and why it happened. The illustrious wordsmiths of the Democratic management side, including the presidency on down, will turn it into something politically to their advantage. And the Republicans are skittish as heck on all those things and don't feel that it'll be a fair evaluation one way or the other. Whatever the answer is, yes, the Capitol was rushed. Yes, there was it was something that should have never happened. But you know as well as I do, Michael, you're an intelligent guy. They will turn it around somehow. And no matter what, it's predictable, it will be somehow Trump's fault and the Republicans instead of a real, thorough, honest investigation. I think people do want to know what happened and why it happened so we can fix it. But beyond that, they're refusing on this committee. As you look at the composition of it right now, and it's not going to be an equitable, fair evaluation or investigation. And that's why they're saying no. You get it to the point where it is, and that's not making it imbalanced left or right. That's making it a fair, balanced committee. God knows we got enough committees, but if we're going to do it that way, it's got to be fair to both sides. So it is a honest evaluation of what and why it happened. And I want to add one more thing on the last conversation real quick, if I may. The minimum wage was never supposed to be a wage you live on. It was supposed to be an incentive to move on and move up. That creates the hardworking ethic and spirit in this country. We are strangling that to death by making minimum wage a living wage that you live
Amen.
On for God knows how long. That's all I have to say on that.
Okay, cool. Ron, I want to go to you on the question about the Republicans. Why did they vote against the commission for January the 6th?
Well, first of all, let me say real quick about minimum wage since Bruce brought it up. I don't know if you've been to grocery store lately to buy, for example, a half a gallon of milk, but things just aren't what they used to be 5, 10, 15 years ago. So, you know, minimum wage does need to go up, whether it's $15 or whatever the amount, it's just not enough. But going back to what happened on January 6th, I think, you know, it was a disgraceful day. I mean, everybody knows that. It was a day in America. And I think what happens with the Republicans is that they want to stay in power. You know, every Republican that is siding with Trump on this, it's because they want to stay in power, and they know that the Republican base, that the Trump base, is very loyal to Trump. And if they go against it, they run the likelihood of losing power, which they don't want to do. So I think one of the primary reasons, and Bruce, it was interesting, you know, because you're always saying we need to work together, et cetera. And I just heard you say a few minutes ago that they will turn it around. they, meaning the Democrats. So, you know, this country is very divisive. I think it's been the most divisive it's ever been, and I think it started with the Trump presidency, and it's continuing on right now. And you know, Joe Biden is trying to get some good things done to move the country forward. So I hope that both sides can work together and do what's right for the American people, not the Republicans, not the Democrats, not the Libertarians, the American people.
Couldn't agree with you more, Ron.
I couldn't agree more. Don Wiggins, my man, why did the Republicans vote against this? I'm dying to hear your thoughts on that. Don, you with me?
Yes, I am with you, Michael. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead, brother.
Michael, we experienced a bunch of pussycats. I cannot believe that the Republican Party are not addressing this the right way. We spent millions and billions of dollars on Benghazi. Benghazi. Hillary Clinton, and now they voted not to have a committee look into a group fueled by Donald Trump, went into our Capitol, killed a policeman, injured many policemen, and not even investigated because they want to keep office and be a pussy and not look at the facts. Let me tell you something. They're going to have to deal with that in the next election because they've just given a lot of fuel. That's going to be the topic of conversation for a lot of candidates in this next election. Let me tell you something. We should have investigated that because now people are going to figure out how they can do it again. And it's going to happen again, and it will be successful next time. This is ridiculous. I've never seen anything like it, and the world saw it on television, and they are watching on how we dealt with it. It's a travesty.
Yes, it is, my brother. Darius, what's up with your team, man? Why did your crew vote against this? They didn't find this very important. I thought they were pro-police. Police died that day. Why did the Republicans vote against this, Darius?
Oh, man, this is so funny to me, guys. The irony here is chilling. I can't believe you guys on the left. First of all, the very premise of the investigation already sets out to indict all the people that were there, even in the Capitol Square that day. An insurrection is an attempt or a violent overthrow. That's not what happened that day. They weren't trying to overthrow the government. What they were trying to do was they were in the process of demanding that their voices be heard in the count of the election. And there were many, many, many things that happened that were out of the ordinary that were causes for concern, and all the Republicans wanted was, hey guys, can we just hold off for a little while we look into it? So you guys want to suppress, you guys want to investigate the people who said our voices weren't heard because they wanted an investigation. So damn the reason why they even marched or stormed the Capitol. Oh, we don't care about that. We don't want to know why that happened. We don't give a darn about that, but we're going to get the people who attempted to have their voices heard. These were just people who were upset at the fact that people were ignoring what their concerns were. They were ignoring the concerns of the president. They were ignoring the concerns of the secretaries of state, and they wanted an investigation. You guys didn't want to investigate that, but now all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we're going to put together a panel and find out what happened. It is whitewash, and everybody knows that what they were trying, what they want to do is they want to put together a partisan slanted panel to paint Donald Trump and everybody who was there that day and everybody who supported him as some sort of insurrectionist. And so the investigation, the handwriting is already on the wall before they even open it up. But if you really want to investigate what happened that day, let's look at all the events leading up January 6th. Let's investigate the whole of it. But that's what the liberals love to do. They just want to take bits and pieces and look at the things that benefit them. But they don't want to look at the whole picture. So I'm saying if you're going to investigate, let's investigate. Let's have one. And let's do everything.
Okay, so you agree with investigation. That's good. We agree on something. So, what do
absolutely.
You think? Why did the Republicans run on this? Should they have got the investigation or not? So, what do you thought from a young man's perspective?
Well, the commission is basically doing what the FBI is already doing. I mean, they have brought some of the people that were at the riots, and they've brought a couple of them. I think they actually found a guy that stole Nancy Pelosi's laptop. So it's basically saying what they're already doing. And, yeah, I can understand them wanting to be more thorough, but there is something to consider. Some people that were there were just protesting, and they were just like, expressing how they didn't feel what was going on was right, and when that's completely within their civil liberties. And I don't know about the commission that was supposed to be formed, but if what has been saying true, I don't know if it's a good idea to actually form the commission if some people who are innocent might be prosecuted and have some repercussions from that.
Okay. Well, let me hear your thoughts. Spence, Jeremiah, what do you think about that?
Repeat your question.
Why did the Republicans not vote to support the commission about what happened on January the 6th?
As the same thing like everybody else was saying, you know, it's just going to blow all up out of proportion, honestly, and just I think it might even divide people more. It might divide things more. I think it needs to be looked into and more things need to be held accountable regarding that situation, but it's not going to happen. I just think everyone wants to put it past us and not look into it, honestly.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next topic. And once again, I'm going to start with you, Bruce, because you once mentioned that Donald Trump's heart was in the right place. I will never forget that for some reason. Manhattan District Attorney's Office issued a subpoena to senior Trump organization financier Jeffrey McConey. Okay, I'm going to break it down for everybody. Jeffrey McConey is the number three man in the Trump organization. Okay, the district attorney, meaning the feds, meaning them people, them boys, they sent out paperwork to him saying, look, you're under indictment. We need some questions about what's going on in the Trump organization. And he agreed to cooperate with them under oath, meaning he cannot lie to the feds about what's going on in the Trump organization. My question to you, Bruce, is why are the feds so deeply involved with the Trump organization? Why is everybody Trump's connected to is under indictment, investigation, or on their way to prison? Why, Bruce? Since he has such a good heart.
You cut out. There was an interference. Ask that question quickly again, please.
Yeah, why is the Trump organization under such heavy investigation from the FBI?
Because the FBI is controlled by the Democrats. Voila. No surprise there at all. Hello. But let me, Michael, yeah, it is quite funny. I agree. But let's be serious for a second. Again, if we're going to investigate things left or right, and it always seems to be right because we have the Democrats in power, and it would probably reverse the other way, then it's got to, if you want the backing of the Republicans or at least them not to fight a big fight, they've got to at least make it look like and maybe actually be fair. And that is not the case. The Democrats have become excellent in wordsmiths and wordsmithing. They think that if we say it enough times, people are uneducated enough to think it's right. And that's despicable. And that includes this question as well.
Okay, I'm going to go to you on this one, Don, but first I want to say this. Just to make this as simple as I can make it, everyone knows Donald Trump is not the most honest guy in the world. The feds are looking at him saying, hey, there were times when he inflated the price of his properties when he needed to go get a loan, meaning he lied to the bank and said, my house is worth $100,000 when it's really worth $50,000 just so he could get a loan from the bank. Okay, and then when it was time to pay taxes on that exact same property, he deflated and said, hey, that place is only worth $2, so I don't have to pay any taxes on it. Okay, it seems plausible that a guy like Donald Trump would do that, all right? So what do you think about that, Don? What are your thoughts on this?
It's called thug. It's called thug. Genuine thug. If I were to do something like that, Michael, they would arrest me. But the thing is, we've got a man that has been able to skate through the system, thug-like, for most of his life. It's amazing what happened. And New York is going to have him in court going through the process because a lot of his cohorts are going to flip on him. And then it's amazing what he did in Atlantic City. He did the same thing in Atlantic City. Inflated property, didn't pay people after cutting contracts with casinos, and all of the properties were dismantled. I mean, it's called thug action, gangster action. And the thing is, he's going to go to court because, like you said, Bruce, if you tell a person a lie for a long time, they'll believe it. And that's what we've seen from Donald Trump. I'm glad to hear you say that because it's sinking in now.
Yeah, just the source is different now, my friend. That's what I meant.
Let me ask you this question, Darius. As a black man such as myself, you do agree, Darius, if you and I were to lie on our bank application to get a loan and say we made way more than we made to get the loan, the feds would kick in our dough immediately. You know they would. So should Donald Trump be on his way to jail?
No, absolutely he shouldn't. Anybody who has a home, anybody who's a homeowner, knows there are two things. I've been in real estate for a long time. The first thing is your appraised value of your home for in regard to you getting a loan against it, taking out an equity line, or listing it as an asset is totally different from your tax assessed value. Look at anybody who has a home, look at your records, look at what you say your house is worth or what it's appraised for, and then look at what your county assesses the tax value of your home. You'll see there's a significant difference. This is not anything abnormal at all. And what this is like my brother Bruce said, once again, it's got to get Trump. And for all of the people and all of the investigations that have been going on, they have still yet, this has got to be the cleanest guy to ever done business. Because they've been investigating this man solidly. You can laugh, but he's had investigations solidly for over 4 years or 5 years, and they still haven't come up with anything on him. The people who've gotten indicted around him got indicted on charges that were unrelated. Nobody has been able to touch Trump yet. So I don't know what you guys are talking about, but my brother Don talked about thuggery. So I guess thuggery is not telling a country, hey, if you don't fire this prosecutor, you're not going to get the $1 billion. And I'm leaving here in 20-some hours. So either you fire the prosecutor or you're not going to get the $1 billion. Or I guess thuggery is not saying, hey, hire my son, pay him $80,000 a month on a job where he has no experience at all, and we'll continue relations with your country. Or the Bank of China giving your son $1.5 billion to manage in a equity fund that he's never managed any equity funds before, no experience. But no, all of that's fine. The FBI doesn't need to investigate that or investigate how they framed Michael Flynn and planted bugs in Donald Trump's office. No, all of that is cool. That's not thuggery, Don. No, that's all up and above board. You guys are a joke, man. I love you guys. I love you guys. You're very, very entertaining, but you're funny as hell right now.
Hey, Darius, quick question. Darius, quick question. Is paying a porn star clean business?
Absolutely it is. It has nothing to do with business.
Ron, I'm going to go to you on this one. Ron, take the floor, Ron. What are your thoughts on this?
Michael, that's between him. That's between him, God, and his wife. That has nothing
okay,
to do with his
business. Hey, Ron, it's on Ron. What do you say about that, Ron?
Michael, my answer is very straightforward and simple. Have we seen Donald Trump's tax returns yet? Case closed.
No.
So we have
no,
not.
We
You're
have
absolutely
not.
Right. Soel, what do you think about this? Is this? What are your thoughts, Soel?
Well, when it comes to the FBI and all these other things, the FBI historically has been used as a weapon against opposition in the political parties. J. Edgar Hoover used it to get dirt on Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and you look at what happened after they died, all these horrible things that they did, is because he had dirt on all of them. Donald Trump, he might not be necessarily the most morally upstanding character, but it comes down to all the things that he did with his businesses and everything that came a result of that. Every single president has gotten richer after they left the White House. And that's just not by coincidence. The Clintons got richer. The Obamas got richer. The most recent poorest president that we've had in this country is Jimmy Carter. And you look at it, the emails with Hillary Clinton and the FBI investigated. Trump said, I'm going to file a thing against you. And then when Trump lost, what happened? Biden gets in there, and then his FBI director starts investigating Trump. It's just a ever-ending circle of political deceit and political get-back. So I choose not to really think about it that much because I can imagine if Biden loses or if he runs re-election or whatever happens after he's gone, somebody's going to file an investigation against him or Hunter Biden like they have been doing, and then, oh, you're doing all this, you're doing all that, you're corrupt and you're doing all this. It's just something that's going to continue because it's been happening forever.
Okay, fair enough. Let's wrap that up. I want to move on to this next topic. This is a very hot-button issue. It's been a hot-button issue in America for many, many years, and right now it's going to get real heated again. So let's talk about right now Roe v. Wade is in danger of being overturned. And for those who don't know what Roe v. Wade is, that was a Supreme Court decision in 1963, July 12th of 1973, that gave women the right to have abortions and made abortions legal in the United States. It was a 7-2 ruling on the Supreme Court. Ever since that ruling, the Republicans have always been against it. They've been pushing back on that for the last 50 years, and now it looks like they may have a shot at overturning that law. Because right now the court is far more conservative than it was back then. So the state of Mississippi is challenging that right now, and the Supreme Court just agreed to take that up. So my question to a panel of all men, and I know it's a tough conversation for women that are listening to hear a bunch of men talk about this, but I want to know, Bruce, what are your thoughts? Why do the Republicans want to overturn Roe v. Wade so bad?
Well, Michael, thank you for the question, because I think about this a lot. And to the core of it all, Michael, is human life, the creation that God creates in the two people that start it. Not one, not the other, not a man, not a woman, but both. And one of my hot buttons has always been, if any decision needs to be made that critical, why isn't it both, not just the woman? Yes, and I don't say this to be disrespectful, she's the incubator, and he's has just as much a role in it. So if a life has to be shortened at its conception, that should be a very careful decision by both that created it. So that's number one. And number two, as a God-fearing Christian, that's where it starts. I have to support. At one time, I thought maybe choice a little bit was a good choice. But there again, I've explained if you have to have choice involved, which I don't like, it has to be both because the child can then be adopted. There are so many loving people that would love to raise children, and they don't get that opportunity. I know it's an imposition for the woman if she doesn't want to carry the child, but they two of them should have thought of that before they started it.
Okay, fair enough. And one thing I must say, I am with you on the fact that it should be a mutual decision as far as termination between the man and the woman, but I think it's just, it's choice. I think it's a choice of the individual. I don't think the government should step in and mandate that a woman carry a pregnancy to term if she doesn't want to. That's just my thoughts on it. I want to hear
Michael, before you go to someone else, I agree with you 100%. It ought to be between the two of them, not the government. I agree.
I agree. So, from a young man's perspective, what is your generation? What do they think about that? Why are the Republicans trying to overturn Roe v. Wade? Do you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, from my immediate group of friends and people that I know, most of my pro-choice are in the middle, both liberal and moderate conservative. My personal opinion is that the woman really should just have the choice to do as she wants. I mean, my personal belief is that a pregnancy shouldn't be terminated once a heartbeat is registered in the fetus. I believe that when a heartbeat is registered in the fetus, that it is a living person. But, again, people do have the choice to do as they so please. Some states have late abortion limits. Some states have early abortion limits. Even if Roe v. Wade gets turned, which I pretty much don't think it will be because that will be political crucifixion, but every single state that wants to have abortion, they can pass a law where they can have that. And if you live in a conservative state, you know, you can just get a bus ticket. If you need to get an abortion so badly, it's not going to disappear from the United States entirely.
Fair enough, but there'll be a financial burden there for women. If you're in Mississippi, you got to travel to California to get an abortion. Most women aren't going to do that. So let me hear, Darius, let me hear what you think on that. Why are the Republicans trying to overturn Roe v. Wade so bad?
I got a real simple answer, and that's because it's murder. And they believe that they're saving the lives of unborn children. That's why they're fighting so hard. And if you can't find a cause to fight for higher, that has a higher regard than human life, then I don't know what you're fighting for. And, you know, it's no need to elaborate any further than that. It's just that simple. Most of them believe that it's murder, and they're trying to save the lives of unborn children.
But, okay, fair enough, Darius, but why are you guys for the death penalty then? That's murder as well, but you're okay with executing somebody. So that kills me when you guys try to draw that comparison. Don Wiggins, let me go to you. What are your thoughts on that? Why are the Republicans trying to overturn Roe v. Wade so bad?
I'm sorry, Michael. What you said, you can't just throw that out there and just skip over it, man.
When I say murder,
and you're talking about the life of an innocent unborn child, that's not the same thing. So
Murder is murder, my brother.
No, it's not. Yeah. When a guy kills 32 people, that's murder. He made a choice. He made a conscious choice to murder someone. That's not an innocent unborn kid. So, come on, man. Let's not do that.
Okay. Come on, Don Wiggins. What do you think, my man?
You know, I'm still wrestling with this. I've been wrestling with this for a long time, Michael. You know, prior to my wife and I getting married, and we have two wonderful children now, we aborted a child. I'm going to say not a fetus, but a child. And to this day, we've been married over 40 years, and we still remember that day. So spiritually, you're going to always remember that if you do it. There are issues that come up in a person's life when I think that they may have the right to do it. I'm kind of torn between this issue. I don't know what to say, and it's okay for me to say I don't know what to say, and I'm going to leave it like that.
Okay, fair enough, and I'm torn. I'm going to end it with this one. I'm torn on that one, too. I'm pro-choice because I'm liberal, and I, unfortunately, myself, in my younger days, a woman I was dating, we terminated a pregnancy as well. And now in my older life, I think about, wow, what could have been? Could I have had this? Could he have died? I think about that. It does bother me when I think about that. But
yes.
On that same note, I think about women who had to carry to a child who they just weren't ready to be a mother. She just wasn't ready. And the life of her life and the child's life is just a life of living hell for the rest of their life because she wasn't ready to be a mom. So I've seen both sides of that argument, and it is a very tough decision. And to all the women listening, once again, I apologize that it's just a bunch of men having this conversation about a woman's body. I think there needs to be more women's voices in on this conversation as well, and it's not. In Congress, you just see a bunch of men trying to pass laws on a woman's body, and that I do not agree with at all. Okay, with that said, let's move on to
wait a minute, Michael. I'm going to jump in like Darius did.
I was
listening until you said, well, there's a reason to maybe terminate it if it's inconvenient. Well, then why did they create that human being in the first place? That's BS. Convenience isn't an excuse to murder someone.
So, well, does anybody want to weigh in on that one? So, well, you want to weigh in on that?
No, they're not.
The Bible says thou shalt not kill. It doesn't necessarily make it justified if your government says it's okay.
Right. And Bruce, just to clarify, I'm not saying for convenience. It's not for convenience. But sometimes you got to look at reality. Do you not think it would have been a good idea for Charles Manson's mother to have an abortion? Of course it would have been a good idea for her to do that because Sharon Tate would still be alive. So there's a lot of ways you could really look at that. In some instances, it just makes a lot of sense, and it's better for the individual.
Terrible analogy. That's Monday Night Quarterbacking. She didn't know when she brought him into the world that he was going to be a raving maniac. None of us know the potential of a child that has to evolve. For God's sake, you can't be serious.
Can I jump in there, please, gentlemen?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Jump in.
I think what he needs to do is go ahead and adopt about 10 or 15 kids. I think you should go and adopt about 10 or 15 kids because you don't understand the juvenile delinquency issues that we have in this country due to children being in the system because they were forfeited when they were born. A lot of children. And those children grow up and get counseling, and they're still not the same because they didn't get the love and tender care from their mothers and fathers. They've been raised by the system, and the system being the system that we have to help these children because their parents don't want them. Okay? So when you say Monday quarterbacking, probably you haven't or any of your family members have been through this when they're adopted. That's not an easy thing to go through as well. Now, go back to the mothers. I think, you know, everyone is granted their own decisions in life. Just like those guys that commit a crime and go to prison, that's their decision. You wanted to do what you did, you spend the rest of your life in prison. Now, for people that feel like they want to have an abortion, that's their right. But at the same time, it could be something where we just say, listen, there is a max on that, or you need to get your tubes tied, or you need to do something proactive because you've had – it could be something that we keep in a database to say, okay, this person has had 6 abortions. You need to do something proactive to prevent pregnancy because you're not responsible. Get your tubes tied.
Hey, Michael.
An OBGYN, something like that.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron. Go ahead, man.
You can't tell people what to do with their lives.
I got something
like that
to say about it. And you know,
Ron. I'm sorry, Jeremiah.
Don.
Go ahead, Ron.
Hello.
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh yeah, like Don. You know, I've been torn on this one for a long time, and I actually go back and forth a little bit. You know, and I really don't know what the answer is. I do agree that government should not be involved, and that it should be a dual decision between the two creators. However, I think I may have a solution for the whole problem, and that would be that nobody can have an abortion nobody's allowed to have an abortion. But if they go through with the pregnancy, they have to make sure. In other words, if somebody's allowed to go through with the pregnancy, they have to make sure that there's somebody willing to adopt a child if the parents do not want that child. Maybe that's the answer.
But that's but there's no way for that because there's children that are in the system for 10 years and not getting adopted. How?
There's
no guarantees. Imagine being a child. Imagine being a child that you're being shopped to be adopted. We got to think about what we're talking about here. So every weekend you see families that come in and want to look at you and talk to you, but they don't want you.
No. That's what I'm saying. Before the child is born, we have to make sure that there's a loving family that is ready to adopt the child the minute that the child is born.
And I understand that, but I think that's very far-fetched. I really think it's – I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that's very far-fetched because think about it. We can't get kids that have been in the system for 5, 10, 15 years adopted. How in the heck are we going to get a newborn adopted? And guess what?
I got to weigh in on this, guys, because I have two children. I have two children that are adopted. For you guys to go back to what sounds like, well, they might, you know, if they're not adopted by the first couple that comes in, that's too much trauma. So let's kill the child so they're not exposed to that. That's insane. God's gift to us was we got to adopt two wonderful kids. But I didn't know what – hold on, please. Let me just finish and then I'll shut up. And I had no idea what they were going to turn into or I was going to be able to teach them to be. So the potential of a child is unlimited when they're born. I don't care what color, what race, what creed, what belief. It doesn't matter. I'm done.
Bruce, you got to go ahead, Don Wigan.
Bruce, I'd like to speak please. From practical experience. And I was faced with the same decision along with my wife in the first trimester. And the first trimester is the first 3 months. And at that point, Bruce, I realized and she realized that we were not ready to be parents. And we elected to do that. Now, like Ron stated before, I'm still wrestling with that. So this is going to be a topic.
And you will for the rest of your life. You know that.
Hello?
Well, like I said, I'm still wrestling with it. Like I said, I'm still wrestling with it. I plan to live a long time.
He knows that.
Bruce, I already know that, brother. Huh? I already know that.
And you're a God-fearing man, and I can't begin to think what was going through your mind. So I have to say I can't be in your shoes, so I can't make your decision. I don't indict you for that. I'm just saying that the approach of ending lives, if there's any way possible to save it, it's got to be saved.
Bruce, but you don't know the pain of Bruce. And hang on, let me say this, Don. Bruce, in my community, we know the pain of what it's like when women who have children that they were not ready to be, men and women weren't ready to be parents, the pain
parents
and the trauma
drugs.
Of that causes.
All kinds of stuff.
So,
no,
Bruce,
you're right.
Gotta,
I don't know that,
guys,
Michael. You're right.
Hey, guys,
I don't
we
gotta know
move
that
on
thing.
Here. We gotta get to sports. This is a very hot button topic. We could toss it into the ground.
Let's get to
sports real quick. Let's wrap it up. So, Jeremiah, what do you got for me on sports, my man?
So, Julio Jones just got traded for the Tennessee Titans. Man. That's the news of this week.
Listen to the music play for a minute. The music plays in. We're trying something new here.
Mm. I like the beat, though.
So this intro is all for you, courtesy of David Shorter.
And Spencer is the fourth person, not Jeremiah.
I'm sorry. My apologies. So, Spencer, go ahead. Give us some sports, man. What's going on?
No, Jeremiah can take the lead if you want. But that's what I was going to start with. Actually, I wasn't. I was going to say the biggest news is the Lakers losing in the playoffs. LeBron finally losing his in the first round for the first time ever in his career. AD not doing what he's supposed to, you know, in that nature. But I would say the second biggest news is Julio going to the Tennessee Titans. They're a powerhouse now, and they should be very hard to deal with this year with A.J. Brown and big Derrick Henry back there. So all you football fans, you know, be looking forward to that. I think they have a very good chance to make it to the Super Bowl now that they added him, as long as he stays healthy, because he's kind of like AD-ish in that way. And also tonight, if you want to see a good exhibition fight, Floyd Mayweather is fighting some YouTube star. I think his name is Jake Logan, in an exhibition match in Miami.
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul. My bad, I said Jake Logan. Jake Paul.
Same difference.
Yeah. You know, one of the brothers that have been beating up on guys, celebrities so far. So I'm very interested to see how that is. He's like 40, 50 pounds more heavier, taller. So it'll be an interesting fight to see who actually comes out on top.
Hey, Jeremiah. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Spencer.
Sir.
You and I have never butted heads, man, but we're about to, man, because you're just totally overlooking what my Atlanta Hawks did to the New York Knicks.
Ooh.
And what they did today to the number one seed, the Philadelphia 76ers. Come on, bro. Where's the love, man?
Well, the Knicks were good, but, I mean, come on. We're still talking about the Knicks here. You know, I think they're going to be Atlanta in a couple of years. And I was very shocked that they did beat Philly. They did blow a 24-point lead to win by 4 points. Nonetheless, they did take down Philadelphia 76ers. I still think they lose. I still think they lose in the 7-game series, but that's just my opinion. But they're playing very good basketball, so that is kudos to Atlanta, and I'm in Atlanta. But I still think they're gonna lose to Philadelphia, in my opinion.
Everybody thought they were going to lose against the Knicks, too. So we'll take that. We love being the underdog.
No, well, I mean, you know, the Knicks were the Knicks. I didn't expect them to lose. That would have been a waste of a season.
Gee, what's going on?
Yeah, somebody got a lot of noise in the background there. Hey, I got a quick sports question for you. Do you think Floyd is fighting for the money? Does he need this money? Why is he fighting this no-name YouTuber?
I think the YouTuber has a tremendous database, man. I mean, this guy has a database like you wouldn't believe. And the thing is, a lot of people are going to pay that pay per view, and they're going to make a lot of money, man. It's all about the money.
So does Floyd need the money? He's going to put his legacy on the line. He's the greatest fighter ever, never been defeated. He's going to risk all that to a YouTuber? Does he need the money that bad?
Well, he already made $30 million of the 100 he could potentially make. So I don't think he needs the money. I just think he's doing it just to do it. But I just think, man, he's just doing it just to do it. But the rules that is in place is that there's no winners, no losers. Well, obviously, if he loses or knock him out, we're all going to consider that a loss. But it doesn't affect his record at all. He'll still be 50-0. So.
Yeah, but that's why I have bragging rights. He knocked out Floyd Mayweather.
I was just going to ask you, could it be for some kind of principle that he's doing it other than money?
Maybe it's kind of like what the Kolesnikov brothers was doing back in, the early 90s, late 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, they was beating up everybody. So it had to take, Lennox Lewis, I think, though. You know, to shut him up. And you know, they've been knocking out a couple of celebrities, you know, especially what happened with Nate Robinson. I thought he died in the ring, and some of the other fighters. But maybe it's just to shut him up because they're not real boxers, even though I think they're taking it seriously. You know, I'm not sure from what I've seen them train, they're not actually doing it just, as a hobby or sport. Nah, I think they're actually taking it pretty serious.
Yeah.
I agree with the "it's revenge for what happened to Nate Robinson" argument, but couldn't we have put Sugar Shane Mosley or somebody else in the ring to fight the guy? Why go with our greatest, Floyd Mayweather? Why have to get him to fight the guy?
I mean, Sugar Shane, he's great in his own right, but, I mean, Floyd is a lot younger, and he's coming off fight. So he still trains as hard, you know, and
all right, well, that's the show. Sorry to cut you off on that one, but that's our show. Thanks for tuning in. We will be back next week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I want to thank the entire panel. Everybody have a good day.
You too. And Michael, you did a great job because we didn't hear from David at all. Go on. You did a great job.
Okay,
job,
thank you.
Thank
you, guys.
Go, boy. You should be on the
show. Thank you.
Time for me to cut off Bruce's microphone right quick.
I'm okay with that.
I know we're supposed to show next week, but we got to revisit that topic. We really have to revisit that.
I like that.
Good
job, Michael. Way to go,
Barry. Thank you.
Everybody have a great weekend. And week.